The Romans called them the Iberians, the ancient race that first inhabited this 1,400 square mile island off the coast of Spain some 7,000 years ago. Today, Majorca and its sister islands, Minorca and Ibiza, are collectively known as the Balearics, a name derived from the Greek balin, meaning to hurl from a sling, a deadly skill for which these islanders became known throughout the ancient world. But when they weren't defending their home against invaders, Majorca's earliest inhabitants were busy farming and raising goats and cattle in the rugged hills of this mountainous island, in much the same way that many landowners still do today. Though these ancient people left no written record, their legacy of pottery and massive stone temples and living complexes has provided archaeologists with enough evidence to piece together what life must have been like here during the Copper Age, more than 2,000 years before the birth of Christ.
Okay, this is the prehistoric sanctuary of San Mas, a site which covers 2,200 years of ritual activity.
Dr. Bill Waldron of Oxford University has been excavating prehistoric sites throughout the Balearic Islands for more than 30 years. A gruff and garrulous Hemingway look-alike, the 74-year-old Waldron ended up on Majorca in the early 60s as an archaeologist's assistant. The climate and the profession appealed to him, and through a combination of intuition, determination, and just plain luck, he made several important discoveries which led to grants from the Smithsonian, National Geographic, and others.
This was the first site we excavated, the first site we were working when I discovered the old settlement. All that material that you see there, all those rocks and that earth that you see there, is all stuff that was excavated by Earth Watchers.
In 1974, Waldron welcomed his first group of volunteers from a fledgling organization later known as Earthwatch. Since that time, he says he could never have accomplished all he has, including a PhD from and faculty appointment at Oxford, without the muscle power of thousands of Earthwatchers over the years.
Oh my God, just in the sheer labor alone, everything that we have done here for the last 23 years is really basically an Earthwatch legacy.
Waldron's work on Majorca is just one of more than 130 projects in 50 countries around the globe, sponsored in part by Earthwatch. There's really something for everyone, from dinosaur digs in the American West, to elephant tracking in Botswana, to saving the rainforests of Borneo. The way it works is this. So-called volunteers pay anywhere from $650 to $3,700 plus airfare to spend 2 weeks in some remote region of the planet working alongside some of the world's leading researchers.
That's a nice grindstone you got there.
Which one?
That's a grindstone. That's been worked.
Oh, this probably went with it.
Yep, that's right.
A good chunk of that fee, which, by the way, is tax deductible, goes to Earthwatch to cover its administrative costs. Another chunk is donated to the projects themselves, while the rest pays for your room and board, which varies from site to site. Some Earthwatchers camp out in tents deep in the bush with no electricity or running water. Others stay in makeshift field station dormitories, while still others might end up in comfortable B&Bs or hotels. On Majorca, we stayed in Waldron's home, a multi-tiered amorphous stucco dwelling built into a hillside in Dea, a remote village on the island's northwest coast. The setting is idyllic. Groves of lemon and olive trees cling to the terraced hillsides, rising 3,000 feet above the warm, inviting turquoise waters of the Mediterranean. Fountains of purple morning glories cascade over ancient stone walls, while sheep and donkeys graze idly on vast fincas, estates that have been in the same aristocratic families since the 13th century. It's easy to understand why this particular project has been nicknamed the Club Med of Earthwatch expeditions. But of course, we were there to work, and work we did, for about 3 hours each morning in the field, using picks, trowels, brushes, and in some cases dental tools, in search of artifacts in the dry, crumbly earth.
Excavation is basically nothing but good housekeeping, believe me. So keep your trench neat. You've also got brushes. If you're in doubt at any time, you want to see what's in the next level before you dig into it, you do this with it.
We spent the first couple of days gathering soil samples at San Oleza, a Copper Age settlement dating back to the 3rd century BC. Waldron hopes to use these samples to determine the location of a corral at the site, which will help him learn more about the lifestyle of the people who lived here 4,000 years ago.
You found something already?
I don't know. There are two things already.
The rest of our stay, we rummaged through the ruins of the Temple of San Moss, an extremely prolific site where we dug up everything from prehistoric pottery shards to Roman nails, coins, and other treasures.
You're going to find little pieces of Roman glass, really small pieces of Roman glass. So keep your eyes open for that.
Colored
glass, yeah.
We spent the afternoons sorting, weighing, and scrubbing our booty beneath the shade of beach umbrellas on a rooftop lab back at Waldron's house. This was perhaps the dullest part of the day. Indiana Jones, it ain't. But as I learned during Waldron's unavoidable everything you did or did not want to know about a pottery shard lecture, you can actually tell quite a bit from a busted water jug.
The imported pottery is very interesting because some of it comes from different parts of the Mediterranean, meaning that they had trade in here. They came in from all directions, as far away as the Black Sea, a long way.
Some in our group were already familiar with such things, as well as Earthwatch. This was the second Earthwatch expedition for Wisconsin native Dick Mason, an electrician by trade and archaeologist by hobby.
You got to have hands-on experience. If you just read about archaeology, it's probably one of the most boring things in the world, but to get your hands on it, it's exciting if you find stuff.
There were also a handful of secondary school teachers, like Mary Kay Natho of Taunton, Massachusetts, who hoped to take what they learned in the field back into the classroom.
I think it'd be kind of neat to meter off certain areas and have the kids kind of do their own little dig, putting in different types of artifacts that I might think of, and have the kids come up with some creative ideas about, you know, thinking about what early man was like.
And there were some high-spirited teenagers like Lauren Bliss, whose interests lean more towards biology than archaeology.
If you had to sum up this trip, what was the best thing about it?
Spanish guys in general are hot, so that was great. There's one that's really cute. Am I going to be on the radio?
Whatever their individual motivations, Earthwatchers in general, says Waldron, often share many common characteristics.
They're normally educated people. They're sensitive people, sensitive to their environment. They don't want to spend their time doing something that's banal and meaningless, like laying on a beach or something like that, but they want to be able to contribute some way.
So, even if you've already been all that you can be, and it's not the toughest job you'll ever love, an Earthwatch expedition is bound to be one of the most memorable vacations you'll ever have. Off the coast of Spain on the island of Mallorca, I'm Tom Verdi for The Savvy Traveler.